boy.
Oh, I'm a pansy. It's time to go out and kick some ass and do whatever you can to inflict pain. Let this bitch up. Common sense is not sexy.
Well, here we are again.
Yes. Keeping it real.
Here we come again, getting more, nothing lesser. Back on the mic is the antidepressor, Ad Rock. We are here to continue the story of Galeazzo Sforza that we started at the end of our last episode. The Duke of Milan, crazy gal.
Rapey.
As they called him. Yeah, rapey gal. Now, the manager of the Medici Bank in Milan got word, this is in like 1471, 72, around there, that Galeazzo was now becoming dangerously deranged. Now, this is the guy who's already known for torturing his enemies and ripping them limb by limb. But now,
you turn it up to 11.
They're saying,
yeah.
Oh, that was okay when he was ripping people limb from limb.
Standard. Yeah.
Now he's just gone crazy.
Yeah, and nobody has to care except for he is the Duke of Milan, the ally that helps keep Florence safe. So this is a pretty big deal. Now, I'm sure Lorenzo wrote back and said, well, I mean, this is a report you're giving me. I don't know. I mean, do you got any proof? You got any stories? Is there something more specific that you could tell me?
And he said, sure. Let me tell you the story about his astrologer who predicted that he would reign for fewer than 11 years. So he locked him up in a cell with a glass of wine and a chicken leg.
See,
that's it forever.
No, that's actually
not every day. Just one chicken leg.
He bricked him in, so there was no way to
bricked
get
him in.
Bricked him in, so there's no way to get more. But Jesus supposedly, if he wanted to, could come into that cell and multiply that wine and chicken leg. Mm. I don't think he did, but the point is, I think that's what Galeazzo was counting on. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
He also had a poacher executed by forcing him to swallow an entire hare with the fur still on.
God.
And he had another man nailed alive in his coffin, in his coffin.
Right. Jeez.
Nailed to a coffin, in the coffin.
And then nailed on the lid.
It's like,
Look,
it's an innovation. You have to admire that. You could, if you're in a naily kind of mood,
right?
You can nail somebody to a crucifix, but then eventually you got to take them down off the crucifix.
That's true. You got to do something with the body
into a coffin, and,
right?
Yeah,
skip the middle.
This way,
yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just like he just woke up. It was one of these 3 a.m. thoughts that he had. He's sitting on his golden toilet, the Trump toilet, like, and he just was like,
he was texting,
what if we crucify them in a coffin?
That's fucking brilliant.
Boom, you can stand the coffin up. If you want to put them on display, you stand the coffin up, take the lid off, stand it up, nail them in the coffin. Then when they're dead, as long as they don't come back after 3 days, you put the lid on it. Boom, done, cleaned up.
Done. He stood up from the
toilet. Doesn't need to come out with his brush and his bleach.
Exactly.
That's how you get rid of a fucking blood stain.
Exactly.
You just put him. Genius. Yeah.
He stood up from the toilet, turned around, looked at the contents of the toilet, and said, "One and done." And just boom, and he walked away a happy man. Not so much for the guy who got nailed in the coffin.
But Larry didn't have time to worry about Sforza right now. He had his own problems.
Oh, God.
A new source of alum had been discovered in the town of Volterra.
Yeah.
Which happened to be in Tuscany, happened to be under Florentine rule.
Good.
And well, you might think so. You might think so. Turns out, not so good.
Yeah.
Well, no, the Volterrans initially granted
right
sort of the rights to mine the alum to a company that had a handful of Medici supporters as stockholders. So essentially a Medici company. Yeah,
that's what you do.
But then they discovered that the size of the mine was actually much larger than they originally thought.
Oh.
And the Volterrans changed their minds and wanted to keep it all for themselves. Green. And when Florence objected and said, I don't think so, you signed your name on the line which is dotted, he said...
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted.
And you did that.
Right.
Because so. Here in Florence, we have one rule.
Always be closing.
And we did, so that's ours now. So. The Volterrans rioted, and it didn't go well for the Medici supporters.
It also didn't go well for the Florentines, who were in the town at the time. Several of them were killed. In fact, one of the Medici stockholders, he was thrown out of a window. Another one, I think it was the mayor of the town, who was appointed by Florence, because again, Florence controls this little town. He had to barricade himself in his palazzo just to save his own life. So if there's a little bit of alum, yeah, we'll do whatever you want us to do. If we find out there's a shit ton of alum, we're all going to be rich. Fuck you, Medici. And maybe it was greed. I don't know. But the point is, they're standing up to Florence. Lorenzo can't have that.
So, against the advice of his advisors, like Tommaso Soderini and the Signoria,
right,
who advised him, look, let the Volterrans do it. Like, we've got enough alum. We don't need their alum. Let them do it. They, quite honestly, they don't know shit from alum from shit.
Yeah.
They'll fuck it up. No, they're like Ray. You know, they'll agree to do a podcast. But as soon as there's some work involved, they're not gonna do it. They're gonna try and YouTube their way through alum mining. Now, we all know that you can't just YouTube your way through alum mining. Give them 6 months. They'll come back, cap in hand. Right. Please,
take it
Medici,
over.
Medici, will you take the...
We're sorry.
That's what they advised Lorenzo. Yeah. But Lorenzo wasn't happy with that. He was worried that if they broke away from Florentine control, other cities might try that as well.
No. Can't have that.
And it might start a domino effect. So he decides a show of force is required.
Yeah.
So he hires the condottieri old one eye, Montefeltro, the Lord of Urbino.
Who was the one eye guy in the Alexander the Great? Oh, shoot.
Well, his dad, King
was that,
Philip.
Yeah, but there was a general, and we came up with a cool name. Oh, I should have looked it up. Never mind. Sorry, please continue.
Yeah, no, there was old one eye.
Did it start with an A?
Oh, it did start with an A. Not Aridaeus, not Anaxagoras.
Right. Did we call him
Amadeus?
We had a nickname.
Something to do with ball sack, genitalia.
Yes, testicular, something. Oh. Too many years.
What was his? Hold on. One-eyed general Macedonian, and his son.
Yes.
Went on Antigonus.
Antigonus. Antigonad.
Gonads.
Antigonad.
Antigonads.
Oh, we amuse ourselves.
Ball sack. genitalia. We knew it. Yeah. Something to do with that. I think one eye, I think a pair of balls. I knew there was some connection.
That's all between... he needed. That's all you need. As long as you get two balls.
And he was.
Eye. Yeah.
He was the guy. I think it was him. It might have been Philip. Was what? No, I think it was Antigonus. He was laying siege to a town and he got an arrow, a bolt, through his eye. And everyone was like, oh, stop work. He's Captain General's taking. He goes, what? That's nothing. It's a flesh wound. Keep going.
Tis a scratch.
And he just kept fighting.
Poured some liquor into it. Boom.
Yeah, pulled it out. Yeah, poured some liquor into it. Oh, it's great. It's better. I get it in my mouth two ways now. Just pours down straight through my eye hole in my mouth. He just put he got the bottle of the stopper. Booze and just put it to his eye hole. He just put the bottle in his eye hole, tipped his head back.
Look.
He's like, fuck yeah.
Team Macedonia, fuck yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so one-eyed condottiere, Montefeltro, he has now been hired he has been hired by Lorenzo to take his mercenary army to Volterra. And in response, Volterra sends out cries of help to Venice and Naples. So this is quickly kind of getting nervous because it's almost like a worst-case scenario for Lorenzo if all these other general enemies of Florence come to their call. But fortunately, things kind of end too quick for them to get involved.
Well, when you say too quick, it was a four-week siege that Montefeltro had to lay against Volterra. The city finally surrendered and the gates were open.
Thank God.
But when they did, Montefeltro lost control of his mercenaries. And
he closes one eye.
They
right.
They went.
It's hour three.
He could get away with it. He had a glass eye that he would stick in there so he could nap. But his glass eye was, and he thought no one noticed. No one noticed that he was asleep. They thought he was watching them through his glass eye.
Or he put his patch
Turns
on the
Turns out
wrong
they
eye.
Completely yeah. knew what was, the yeah. snoring, the snoring gave the snoring him away. Gave him,
exactly. Quick, let's go rape. Come on.
Mercenaries went on the rampage, murdering, looting, and raping their way through the city of Volterra.
Jesus. Yeah, Lorenzo hears about this in Florence. He sets off, goes to the city, feels horrible. He's handing out money. He's riding among the people. And as far as we can tell, he was genuinely sorry because it was his decision after all. And you can hand out money, but if someone's dead or been raped multiple times, that can only do so much. So this is certainly a black mark on his record as leader.
He went, he said, listen, what, eye for an eye, what can I do? And they said, well, let us rape you. He's like, how about I just give you some money? Will that do?
Right. Yeah. I'll throw down a pile of gold and you can fuck that. Is that, good? Yeah, okay. But he did feel bad.
Now, Lorenzo rightfully gets criticized for this whole episode. And it's said that it's a sign of his youth. Like his father and his grandfather, Cosmo, would have tried diplomacy before resorting to violence. But Lorenzo just went to force as his first option.
Right.
Like I always say to you, like at least try to buy them dinner first.
Oh.
And then
I drug the
they
drink.
Don't put out.
Right.
Yeah, then you go the full Cosby. But at least... buy them dinner first, give them the opportunity. Like they might be a midget lover. You don't know until you... It's
ask.
A numbers game. You take enough women out to dinner, eventually you're going to find...
Right. That sounds right.
Somebody who's a subscriber to Midget Monthly.
Well, I found one. So, hey.
It's two. You've had two wives.
Two. That's right.
And
so
a few sheep.
Two people. Yep. That was involuntary.
Yeah. But he gets criticized and fair enough. But speaking of violence,
right?
More is yet to come.
Oh, God. It's starting to pile on. So on the day after Christmas, 1476, as Galeazzo, the Duke of Milan, who's currently not bricking anybody up as far as we know, he enters a church and he is set upon by three noblemen who stab him, I'm assuming, to death.
Oh, yeah, absolutely to death. Yeah. They actually, jabby. You know.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm tired.
I'm not really into jabby.
And neither was he, but he had no choice.
Actually, I'm okay with that. But go ahead. Pull down your pants. I can do it all day long.
Now, he got stabbed by three fairly high-ranking officials at the Milanese court, and they all had different reasons for killing Sforza. One was angry that Sforza hadn't supported him in a land dispute. Another was just supposedly a very committed Republican. The third believed that Sforza had taken his sister's virginity.
Probably had.
Where he'd taken it, I don't know, but he hadn't given it back, and right. They were upset about that. So they had about 30 friends supporting him, giving them backup. They waited in the church for Sforza to arrive for Mass. When he arrived, one of them knelt down before him, got up, they exchanged some words, and then the guy suddenly, his name was Lampugnani, suddenly stabbed Sforza in the groin.
Oh.
And then the breast. The other two guys quickly followed. Sforza was dead probably within seconds.
Yeah.
All of the assassins quickly escaped. Now, they did this in a church.
That's tacky.
Where Mass was about to be held. You would think that church, if you're in church, it's a no-go zone. You don't stab someone to death in the middle of the church.
Stabby. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's like Caesar being stabbed in the Senate. I mean, you know, there are certain places
off limits
that are especially off limits for this. But and this started to become a bit of a trend then. Other people were like, oh, you can do it in a church?
Right.
Oh, fuck, why you're didn't somebody tell it? Me that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else can we do in churches? Now, the assassins escaped, except for Lampugnani, who became caught up, entangled in some of the church's cloth, like the draperies.
Right, what an idiot.
And he was killed by a guard. Yeah, right. What an idiot. His body soon fell into the hands of a mob who dragged it through the streets, slashing at it, and then hung the body upside down outside of his house.
Fuck.
Then cut off his head, cut down the corpse, and cut off his right hand, the one that he had stabbed Galeazzo with, burnt it and put it on display.
Damn. That's intense. Those Italians, don't fuck with the Italians. That's all I'm telling you. Oh, my God. You know, drag your ass through the street, hang you upside down, mutilate your body, and then probably go back to having a party. But, yeah, but it doesn't matter because now Galeazzo is no more.
But these assassins apparently were a bit like Caesar's assassins also in that they hadn't really thought this through very well. they had no plan for what happens.
Yeah,
and it's a bit like Trump assassinating Soleimani.
Yeah. And then what happened?
I hadn't really thought much about what happens after that. Oh, that's a good idea. Sure. Let's do it. It was a toilet tweet. Sure, go ahead, do it. I don't care. Whatever. Let's kill
him. I sanction this.
Let's kill Sforza in a church in front of 1,000 witnesses. Who cares? So these other assassins were quickly found, tortured, and executed, and their dead bodies were put on public display as a warning as well. They thought, obviously, that the people would rise up probably and go, hooray, you know, the Sforza is dead.
We're free.
Did not go down that way. Now, during his torture, one of the assassins, Olgiati, uttered the famous words, mors acerba, fama perpetua, stabit vetus memoria facti. Now, Ray, no one knows more about Latin than you, so I'd like you to translate that on the fly. I'll do it slowly for you. Mors acerba.
Acerbic.
If something is acerbic, unpleasant. Yeah. Death is bitter. Mors acerba.
Okay.
Fama.
Is that family?
F-A-M-A. No, farms. No. Fama. No, I'll give you a hint. Yeah. Give you a hint. Please. Give you a musical cue. Call a friend.
Pharma. Fame. There you go. Fame. Yes.
Fama perpetua.
Eternal.
Perpetua. Eternal. Death is bitter. Fame is eternal.
Right.
Stabut vetus memoria facti. Stabut vetus, going to be hard to get it. Memoria, memory.
Right.
Facti, the facts.
Right.
Of what I did.
People, okay.
Stabit vetus will endure. Somehow they get out of that. So it's death is bitter, but glory is eternal. The memory of my deed will endure.
And that's fine, but it's still nice to have a step two after you kill the son of a bitch. I hope that's not being too forward.
And in fact, it didn't, because no one's ever heard of Olgiati or Galeazzo Sforza, quite frankly, true. Outside of nerds like us. Right. No one's remembered. So sorry, cool. Olgiati. Right.
Cool nerds.
You're done fucked up, right. Olgiati. Yeah. Now, Sforza was succeeded as Duke by his son, Gian Galeazzo Sforza, who everyone agreed was ready for the job because he was 7 years old. And as everyone knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, seven. You pretty much know everything you need to know once you're seven.
Yeah.
Who said, give me a boy at seven and I'll give you the man?
Yeah, who said that?
Ignatius, I think.
Mm.
Ignatius Loyola, one of those guys. Somebody might have said it before him.
Right.
Anyway, do you know what happened to his son, Gian?
7 years old. Did he not last long? I don't know.
Well, his uncle, Ludovico Sforza, known as Ludovico Moro, the Moor. Don't know why. Didn't look particularly Moorish to me. was appointed regent to the young Duke and then quickly suggested, look, you're obviously under a lot of threat. Your father was just executed in a church.
Yeah.
The safest place for you, I'm here. I'm your uncle. Shit.
Right. Best interest.
I wanted, your best interest. I want you to be safe. The safest, you know where the safest place is, young Gian? No, Uncle Ludo. What's?
In a jail cell.
Uncle Ludo, did they write a song about you? Yeah, they did. What's the song? This one. No, Ludo. Oh, yeah, that song. Yeah, it's about me. Yeah, it's about me. No, look, the safest place for a young chap like you is in a jail cell. Because, no one's going to get to you in a jail cell.
Oh, I'll keep you safe.
We'll lock the door. Just to keep you safe, we're going to lock.
Double lock
the door.
Right.
And make sure no one ever sees you in there. In fact, we won't even tell anyone that you're in there.
I'll swallow the key.
We'll tell them that you went on a holiday. And you'll be safe, trust me.
Foolproof.
Which he did. He was safe until he died in the jail cell some years later under mysterious circumstances. And
Dick.
Ludovico Sforza became the de facto ruler of Milan. And lucky for us that he did.
Yes. Why?
Well, remember I said Galeazzo Sforza went to Florence, went back and said, let's get some of this Renaissance shit going in Milan. Well, Ludovico, who was his brother.
Right.
He was the fourth son of Francesco Sforza.
Right.
He was all about that. And then he found some fucking upstart painter called Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh.
And commissioned him to paint one of the, what, how many paintings did da Vinci do? Like 8?
Yeah, not too many.
No, I think it's 20 maybe. He did like 20 paintings. Mm-hmm. One of them was the Last Supper. Ludovico Sforza.
Get out of here.
Commissioned Leonardo da Vinci to paint the Last Supper.
And
so, bit of a cunt, right. But flip side is...
we got the painting. A 10-year-old boy had to die, but we got a painting. Thank you?
Yeah. Good trade-off, I think, honestly.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
It's a masterpiece.
Last Supper will be around forever. It's a masterpiece, yeah.
The kid was going to die anyway.
I use it in my film.
That's
so
true.
So, look, you know, I helped me out. That was good for me.
God, please, God, have mercy. Where were we?
Meanwhile, right. I'm sexy and I know it. Arranged for one of his nephews,
right?
The one that he didn't make a cardinal, to marry the oldest daughter of Montefeltro, old One Eye, the Lord of Urbino.
Right.
Not albino, because that was another guy different, who was right. like the Cracker. Witcher, but this is Urbino, and he got made the Duke of Ooh. Urbino. Now, the upshot of this is it was understood that from now on, Montefeltro, the one-eyed Duke of Urbino,
yes.
would only use his mercenary army in the service of Pope, I'm sexy and I know it, rather than Florence. Oh,
brilliant. Brilliant
yeah.
move.
How to buy yourself a mercenary army. You sure you can marry your son to a daughter of the Orsini, or you can marry your nephew off to the daughter of a guy who runs an army, and then that is now your army.
Fuck me. Took it
he
right
also
out
made
me.
His...
Yeah.
Sexy also made his degenerate 25-year-old nephew, Pietro Riario, a cardinal, and made him Archbishop of Florence.
Nice. And, of course, you know that's going to piss off the Florentines, because I think it's around this point that Sexy starts making, like, 6 of his nephews cardinals. So these people are offended. Lorenzo's offended. There's a guy that they probably didn't have any say who's now Archbishop of Florence. Lorenzo's offended. The Florentines are offended. This is not going well. But I don't think Sexy cares what Florence thinks.
And this new Archbishop of Florence, Riario, had a thing that he liked to do. He liked to present his mistresses... And I say that in the plural, with chamber pots
right.
made of gold.
Oh, that's hot. That is hot.
It is hot.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, if you're ever trying to get a lady into bed, Ray, I've found, personally,
nothing
turns them on more than giving them a pot made of gold. Mm-hmm. And then asking them to urinate in it in front of you.
I'm turned on right now.
I know,
For my own reasons.
The way
I'm turned on.
Look, the way the urine glistens in the gold chamber pot. Oh,
and I'm done. Okay. But these rumors are getting around about this kind of shit, no pun intended, in Florence. So, like, you give us this guy, you force him on us, he's depraved, he's banging a bunch of women, and now he's doing this little sick thing after he gets this. I mean, the Florentines are not very happy with the way things are going, and they seem to have no say over it.
People really take shits in chamber pots.
They don't they still use them in hospitals for someone who can't get out of bed?
I don't know. I don't go to hospitals.
No.
I've got a basic rule. I don't go to hospitals.
You live longer.
Yeah. I'm worried I'll see a pig man running through the halls.
And you'll try to free him. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
did you do with it? You took a shit in the chamber pot. Then what? What did you do? Like, did you throw it out the window? Or I hope you did.
You wait for someone to be walking by, and then you toss it out. You turn it upside down out the window. I don't know. I don't know. See, if I think about the details, it takes away from the sexual. Anyway, yeah, I don't. I don't do details. I don't do details.
Then there was Riario's brother, Girolamo, who was suspected by many people as being the Pope's son, not actually his nephew. And I said that one of the things I said earlier, one of the things that Sexy wanted to do was to take control of the Papal States. One of the things he also wanted to do was to buy the city-state of Imola.
Yes.
Which was sort of north of Italy in the Romagna region. It's kind of near Bologna, halfway between Florence and Venice. At the time, the city belonged to Milan. Pope wanted to buy it and make his nephew slash son, Girolamo, the lord of Imola. And the owners, Milan, which would have been 7-year-old jailed up Gian, demanded 40,000 florins. Now, Sexy didn't have that because he'd spent all of his money on a crusade, which didn't happen. So he went to Tornabuoni at the Medici Bank and asked him for a loan.
Oh, my God. So Tornabuoni, this is, you know, and he's like, this is above my pay grade. I can't make this decision. So he gets in touch with Lorenzo and he's like, what should I do? And Lorenzo obviously is being, even though he doesn't know the finer points of banking, he can look at the sheets and he goes, well, first of all, Sexy, you already owe us 10,000 florins from your personal account. You are in debt to us. But on the other hand, also Imola is very strategically important to Florence because it commands the trade route over the mountains of the Adriatic. So I don't want to piss the Pope off, but I don't want to give him money that he won't pay me back to take a piece of land that's important to Florence. So this is a tough call for this very young man.
So he said, can I think about it?
You don't say that to popes. It's been my experience.
Which, this is what the Pope, how the Pope replied.
Hi.
Hello.
Do you remember me?
No, I'm sorry.
I was in here yesterday. You wouldn't wait on me?
Oh.
You work on commission, right?
Yes. Big mistake. Big. Huge. I have to go shopping now.
The Pope said, big mistake, big, huge. Sexy flew into a rage, withdrew the papal account. From the Medici and gave it to their number one rivals, the Doctor Doom to their Fantastic Four.
Lex Luthor to their Superman.
The Doc Ock to their Spider-Man, the Joker to their Batman.
The Boss Hog to the Duke twins, Duke cousins. I don't know how I'm making this up. It's hour three.
Actual comedy to the Big Bang Theory. Dan Carlin to us. The Patsy.
Yeah.
Family.
Oh, sons of bitches.
Not the pity.
No.
The patsy.
No, they are the big boys.
You got.
Yeah.
You got the pity and the patsy.
Right.
Yeah, which one is going to be our enemy today? We got the pity and the patsy.
You got the pity over here. You got the patsy over there.
The patsy over there.
Shake it all around. And you, I don't. Dude, hump, don't be. I don't. What is this? Humpty Dump, no. I can't remember. Fuck.
Fuck.
And you turn it all around.
Fuck.
But the point is, this family don't play. This family is, this is top tier enemies that we're dealing with now. And now they have the papal account.
Oh, it's the Biddy and the Patsy. Now the Patsy. The Pazzi were very, very old families. Now, Francesco de Pazzi, who was their bank manager in Rome, said, yeah, absolutely, il Papa, whatever you want, that we will give it to you because we're the Pazzi. We're not, it is a pity. We're the Pazzi. You don't want to have a pity party. You have a Pazzi party. And at the Pazzi party, everybody happy at the Pazzi party. We give out the money to il Papa. The Papa come to the Pazzi. Il Papa come to the Pazzi, we give you the money.
Right. You get a province and you get a province. Yeah.
The Pazzi were way older than the Medici. They'd been one of Florence's leading families for five centuries.
Oh, damn.
In fact, an early member of the family had gone on the first crusade in the 11th century and come back with several flints chipped from the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem.
You can do that? You can now, chip it away?
No one knows more about the Holy Sepulchre than you, Ray. Right. Explain to the listeners what the Holy Sepulchre is.
I will be happy to, except for I think this is a time for me to confess. I did chip away at the Colosseum. I have a little bit of that at home. I feel bad, but I'm glad that I've got it. No, as far as I know, what little I know, has been identified as the place both of the crucifixion and the tomb of Jesus. I'm guessing it's probably not, but Barry and Stan was helping the tourist board attraction with their attractions at this point and said, I think you should call it this. And people have been dying to go there ever since.
So, yes, supposedly where Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected.
Ooh, trifecta.
And he chipped away at a little bit of it. Oh, because
that's what you do.
You know, there's nothing that has more magical powers.
Oh, yeah.
Than bits of the building that were built hundreds of years later on the site where Jesus was murdered.
Supposedly.
Well, no, that's how magic works. Right. If you don't understand that.
If you got to ask, then...
You don't understand nothing about the magic.
This is a
the Patsy.
Yeah.
The Patsy, we understand the Jesus magic. And these flints had been housed at the Church of the Sant'Apostoli.
Oh, I'm hungry now.
In Florence, one of it with the finger. They got the finger of his finger. Do they have? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. We got John the Baptist's finger.
The first finger.
The one
capital.
He used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one he used to pick his nose with, and we got that one. We've also got some of the flints from the Holy Sepulchre.
It doesn't get any better than that. Yeah.
Now, they'd once been aristocrats in Florence, but when the aristocracy went out of favor in the Republic, they gave that up and joined the banking guild. And by the middle of the 15th century, they were the second wealthiest family in Florence after the Medici.
Yes.
Now, the head of the Pazzi family in the early 15th century was Andrea de Pazzi,
mm-hmm.
who had commissioned Brunelleschi to design the Pazzi Chapel, which was built in 1443. And he'd apparently spent a large part of their fortune on building that. We didn't go and see that when we were there. I've looked at photos of it. It's quite a beautiful building. Right. There's some debate now over whether Brunelleschi designed it and built it or just designed it. They think now that he probably just designed it and had some other people build it for him because he was too busy.
You know, we got to go back to Florence, right? After these shows.
Dude, I'm going to live in Florence. That's my plan. All honest to God.
I'll come and see
my plan.
Right.
When I'm rich.
Right.
When Tony Coniston makes me rich is to, live in Florence. Like, pretty much, I'll have two residences, one in Florence.
Nice. I'll come visit you.
Probably one here for when the, when
Italy sinks.
Into the Mediterranean. The happens.
Right. Oh, yeah, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere
yeah.
I can hunt. I'll have a fortress built in the middle of Australia.
Nice.
Surrounded by kangaroos armed with
lasers on their
AK-47s.
Heads. Oh, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, no, I love Florence. My favorite, I just love everything about it. Just fantastic. Love Florence.
Yeah.
My favorite place. I mean, I love Ajaccio. I love Paris. I love Rome. But Florence, for me, is where it's at. Yeah. Florence is just the fucking bee's knees.
And the Pazzi might have spent a ton of money on their palazzo, but they obviously were able to recoup a lot of that when the Catasto taxes showed that by 1457, like you said, they were the second richest family in Florence. So if anybody is going to challenge the Medici, it's going to be these guys. And now they have the papal account. So things aren't looking good.
Well, looking good for the Pazzi.
For them, yes.
But not for the Medici. Now, Piero de Medici had obviously planned for this, and he had married Lorenzo's older sister, Bianca,
right,
to Guglielmo de Pazzi, the younger brother of Francesco de Pazzi.
Right.
So supposedly they united the two families and they had sort of just a friendly rivalry going on. Guglielmo had become a close friend of Larry's.
Right.
They would spend time in each other's houses. They would go hunting together. But Francesco de Pazzi up in Rome, right, he hated the Medici. He wanted to take their money, take their power, and make the Pazzi the leading family of Florence. Yeah. And when we have the power, then we will make the Pazzi pizza. And the Pazzi pizza will be the greatest pizza in all of Italy.
We will have a Pazzi pizza party. All right.
We don't invite the pity to the Pazzi pizza party. We don't like the pity. They can have the pity party. We'll have the Pazzi pizza party. But, so he wanted to take out the Medici, but he couldn't do it himself.
Right.
He needed to put together a team, like Ocean's 11. Or... Do you watch Rick and Morty?
No.
I don't think you do, do you?
No.
It's a great, great recent episode of Rick and Morty, which was like a piss take on Ocean's 11. They put together a team right, to do a job.
Oh, God.
And they were just taking the piss. It was very funny. So he puts together the Pazzi Five, really. It's not the 11, the Pazzi Five.
Right.
He needs to put together the Pazzi Party. And the first person he approaches for the Pazzi Party is Girolamo Riario, the guy we talked about before, the Pope's son slash nephew, who's the new Lord of Imola.
Right.
Well, he would have been if Lorenzo had given the money to buy it, but then the Pazzi gave him the money, so now he is the Lord of Imola.
Nice.
And he is happy to see Lorenzo assassinated because he's the Pope, his papa, il papa, his papa,
right,
maybe, had promised him that he could be Lord of Florence one day.
Oh, fuck me.
Not just Lord of Imola, you'll be Lord of Florence. The Pope wanted to make Florence part of the Papal States again.
Oh, shit.
So he is in the team. Pazzi went to him and said, you know, I gotta play this. This is for Rick and Morty. This is putting together the team.
Rick Sanchez, you son of a bitch! Need some people for a thing, Glar.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in!
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in. I'm in! I'm in!
That's it. He goes and puts together, you old son of a bitch, I'm in. That's what Girolamo Riario said. Who did he go for next, Ray? Who was the next guy he approached?
Yeah, so Francesco then calls on Francesco Salviati, the Archbishop of Pisa, who you may have been thinking about earlier, who was appointed by Sixtus the Pope. He is in on it too. Lorenzo had been against his appointment when it was done, and Lorenzo would not let Salviati cross Florentine land to get to his new post. So he is pissed, he is bitter, and even though he's an archbishop, he is ready to kick ass and take names and quite possibly kill and sin. But either way, it's for a good cause.
He wanted to be Archbishop of Florence, even though the Pope has just made his nephew Archbishop of Florence.
Right. Still he's in.
He was like, you old son of a bitch, I'm in. And what better way, honestly, to prove your worth as an archbishop than to assassinate a couple of guys who have done nothing to you? I think that's really what we're looking for from our archbishops.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, my God.
It's one of the criterion is...
you're willing to kill?
Ever assassinated someone? Yeah, Trump. That's why Trump took out Soleimani. He wants to be the Archbishop of New York.
He's on his way.
Yeah.
Next,
Pazzi hired a condottiere, Gian Battista de Montesecco.
Mm.
Now, you would have thought they would have used Montefeltro, seeing as he's already the Pope's guy.
Yeah.
But no, they go to Montesecco. What can you tell me about Montesecco, Ray?
Oh, I don't know much about him. I just know the orders that he was given and his part that he was to play in this.
Well, why don't you tell us that then?
Okay, yeah. So he was told to arrange his troops at Imola and other places to the east of Florentine territory. And when he was given the word, they were to move in, but only after the conspirators made their kill. The good news was, and this is the kind of job I would like, the mercenaries were told in his army that, don't worry about it, the people of Florence are more than happy to get rid of the Medicis. They've been abusing these people for years. There's not going to be any fighting required. You're going to just be able to march in. And they're probably going to throw garlands around your neck and hail you as freedom fighters, freedom-loving people. So no fighting for this mercenary army. We just need you to march in after the deed is done.
Easy peasy Japanese, they said to him.
My kind of job. Yeah.
Now, Montesecco initially was fairly dubious about this. He's like, listen, taking down the Medici, it's been tried before, never works. He said, my lords, beware of what you do. Florence is a big affair. Salviati, the Archbishop of Pisa, said, we know the position of affairs in Florence a great deal better than you do. There is no more doubt that our plan will succeed than that we are all sitting here now. Mission accomplished, he said. The first essential is to enlist the support of Jacopo de Pazzi. When we have him, the thing is done. But Montesecco said, listen, I kind of only work for the Pope,
right?
Like Montefeltro. We're the Pope's boys. I would need his blessing. No problem. We gots you, they said. They also knew, of course, that the Medici couldn't rely on Montefeltro, the now Duke of Urbino, to rescue him, the old condottieri for hire. So they were pretty sure that this was going to succeed. They also were pretty sure that all of Florence would celebrate them because everyone hated the Medici. To which I say, whoops, big mistake, big huge.
Well, he's throwing festival after festival. I mean, he is literally bred and circusing the fuck out of the Florentines. He knows what he's doing. And to add on to your point, the Florentines cannot count on the Duke of Milan because of the situation that's going on there. So the Florentines are isolated and they are vulnerable, theoretically.
How many times now has there been a conspiracy to overthrow the Medici?
I think we're up to 27. I think.
Never I'm goes sure. well. But they're like, nah, this time.
This is the one.
Six is the magic number. I think six is, look, the other ones.
Right.
Were dismal failures. We grant you on that. Everyone died or was sent into exile. But this time.
We got God.
This time it's different. Yeah.
We got God on our side.
Yeah.
God doesn't fuck up. Yeah.
So the conspirators traveled to Rome and met with I'm Sexy and I Know It, who sort of agree with them that Lorenzo was evil and contemptible trash who shows no respect.
Oh, guts to have no respect.
He come here, he buys all of my stuff, and then he don't loan me money.
Fuck him. Yeah, the Pope was like, I don't want any killing, but you do what you gots to do.
Yeah. And they were like, right, so...
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean?
Remove him, but don't kill him. The Pope said, I do not wish the death of anyone on any account, since it does not accord with our office to consent to such a thing.
Except for Muslims.
Sorry. Well, Muslims, yeah, I mean, of course, Muslims. Yeah,
that goes without saying.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're not real people. Kill them. Yeah, of course.
No brainer. Yeah, anyway.
Though Lorenzo is a villain and behaves ill towards us, yet we do not on any account desire his death, but only a change in the government. Riario said, Were you just winking when you said that? He's like, no.
Were you winking when you just said that?
Are you recording this? Why are you talking into that vase of flowers? Why I don't know what you mean.
Talking into that golden chamber pot. Why are you? What's going on? Yeah.
Test, test. Riario said, all that we can do shall be done to see that Lorenzo does not die.
That's fair.
But.
Oh, shit. There's more.
But. Should he die.
Right.
Will your holiness pardon him who did it? We hear you handing out plenary indulgences left, right, and center.
Boom, boom, boom.
The Pope replied, you are an oaf. I tell you, I do not want anyone killed, just a change in the government. And I repeat to you that I strongly desire this change and that Lorenzo, who is a villain and a furfante,
oh God,
does not esteem us. Once he is out of Florence, we could do whatever we like with the Republic, and that would be very pleasing to us. Riario said, your holiness speaks true. Be content, therefore, that we shall do everything possible to bring this about. The Pope replied, go and do what you wish, provided there be no killing. Salviati asked, Holy Father, are you content that we steer this ship and that we steer it well? The Pope replied, I am content.
Oh, I love double talk. Vague.
Don't kill anyone. But if you do kill someone.
Yeah.
Okay. But don't do it. But if you do do it.
Don't kill anybody. But if your ship that you are steering happens to run over someone, I'm content.
Yeah. And if anyone asks you, I said don't kill anyone. Have we got that?
Several times. Several times. Yeah.
No, I wasn't asking you if we got that. I was asking my sound guy in the next room. Did we get that? Okay. We good? Another take? No? A little bit loud? No, we got it? Good. Good.
Oh, my God.
But...
yeah.
The plot didn't go completely smoothly. First of all, they had to go to Florence and get... the head of the Pazzi family, Jacopo de Pazzi,
right,
on board. He was a banker and a silk merchant. He'd spent several years abroad, a lot of time in France. But he'd come back and even served a term as gonfalonieri, had been knighted by the Signoria for his services to the city. But initially when they went to see him, he was like, nah.
No.
It'll never work. Have fucking you guys? Crazy. Don't you guys read the fucking paper?
History bugs, bitches. Yeah.
People have tried to take out the Medici before. It never works. You're morons. Slapped them upside the head. Get out of here.
Yeah. But they had a counter for that because Montecesco told Jacopo about their conversation with the Pope. And I'm sure they were probably bending the truth a little bit. Who knows? But you bring in the Pope's name, Jacopo can't go against that. And so he agrees.
They were like, oh, look, the Pope's all for it. Fucking Pope loves it. Pope couldn't get enough of it. Stabby, stabby.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, the front of his robe started rising. Yeah.
Nearly changed his name to Pope Stabby Stabby. That's how excited he was about it.
Yeah, so let's go.
So Jacopo gave his consent, and that was all they needed. So they've got Jacopo, they've got Montecesco. They've got Salviati, they've got Riario, they've got the Pazzi, and they got the Pope. So and that's six.
Right, they're the magics and six.
But it didn't go smoothly. They've agreed to do it, but now they've got to figure out where and when to do it.
Right.
Jacopo de Pazzi suggested that they separate Lorenzo and Giuliano. They're going to kill Giuliano as well, the younger brother who wanted to be a cardinal.
Right.
The Pope was like, cardinal, no.
No.
Have you whacked? Yeah, that sounds better. Yes, yeah. Well, you could I could make you a cardinal, I could have you whacked. I think I'll just have you whacked.
Right, same thing.
He said, Jacopo said, separate them as much as possible and then whack them simultaneously.
Right.
He said, did you see that? See that bit of Breaking Bad where Walt... gives orders to have all of Mike's crew assassinated simultaneously in the jail. That's what I'm looking for here. You know, right. Get them all done so they don't have time to warn anybody. They arranged to invite Lorenzo to Rome, and they were going to kill him in Rome and then kill Giuliano back in Florence.
Right.
But Larry turned down the invitation in Rome. He goes, Roma, I was just there. No, I don't want to go there.
Piece of shit.
Roma, it sucks. Yeah, I don't want to go.
Well, we found out from his mother when she was investigating Clarice that the women of Rome generally covered up their breasts, whereas the women of Florence showed some cleavage. So there's really no incentive for him to go to Rome. I mean, in Florence, enjoy the view.
If I can't see a little bit of sideburn,
what's the point?
Yeah, well, we've got the Pantheon. It looks like a boob. I'll give you that.
I'm kind of into side boob, so thank you.
Yeah. Pantheon's a big boob, but I like the real thing. So next, the next plan, so that was their first plan, didn't work out. The next plan is to bring Raffaele Riario, the Pope's 17-year-old great-nephew, who had just been made a cardinal.
Of course he has.
To bring him to Montughi, near Florence, to stay at Jacopo de Pazzi's villa.
Right.
Then when he was there, they invited Lorenzo, who was staying at the Medici Villa in Fiesole with his brother Giuliano, to come and pay his respects to the new cardinal, who was the Pope's great nephew. And then they were going to try and kill both of them with daggers or poison when they were there.
Damn.
Larry did go to Montughi, and when he got there, he invited the cardinal back to Fiesole for a dinner party, but said, "But I'm sorry, my brother Giuliano won't be able to make it because he injured his leg and he can't walk and he's in a lot of pain. Right. I think it's infected. He won't be able to attend the dinner."
Right.
So the conspirators decided to change their plans again.
Oh.
It was now arranged that they would try and kill them both in Florence. Now, the young cardinal, Riario, had asked if he could go to the Medici Palazzo and see all of the art and the treasures and all that kind of stuff, the antiquities. Yeah. And then suggested that they said, "Yeah, sure, we'd love to have you up." And he goes, "And then maybe the next Sunday I could go to High Mass at the Duomo, the cathedral, the Florence Cathedral." Right. They were like, "Fantastic, that'd be great. Fantastic, love it." Larry said, "I love it, love it." So he made preparations for a big banquet to be given, invited delegates and ambassadors from Milan, Venice, Naples, and Ferrara. Come, big celebration for the new cardinal.
Right.
And the assassins decided they would kill the brothers at the banquet.
Damn.
But then, they learned that Giuliano's condition was worse, his leg was worse, and he was suffering from an inflammation of the eyes.
Oh my God. What did he do?
So he can't attend the banquet.
Right?
I don't know.
Fuck a duck?
I don't know.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Fucked a duck and then rubbed his infected dick on his leg and his eyes. I don't know.
Sorry I asked. Go ahead.
His father was Piero the Gouty. I mean, what do you want?
He's got, the onset.
So they changed their plans again. Now they decided, they looked at the example of Galeazzo Sforza in Milan killed in a church.
Oh.
And they were like, you can do that? Well, fuck it. Let's just kill him in a church.
Done, son. They won't suspect it.
And that was what they decided to do. They would kill them during the mass that the new cardinal, Raffaele Riario, would attend. It would take place on the fifth Sunday after Easter, the 26th of April, in the Duomo.
Oh, God. Dicks.
In front of everybody. They would assassinate Lorenzo and Giuliano.
Jesus wept.
But the condottieri Montesecco, who they gave the job of murdering Lorenzo, they're like, you're handy with a knife. You should be the guy that takes out Lorenzo. He declined. Apparently, he was getting cold feet. He said, "Look, I don't want to commit murder in a church. What if God sees me?"
Like,
God's everywhere, bitch. He can see everything. He goes, "Yeah, but he's more in a church, right? And they go, no, right. Yeah. It's not how it works. He goes, yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. Look,
I don't feel
kill,
good about
I'll,
this. Yeah. I'll kill someone. Yeah. But
don't get me wrong. Yeah. But in a church? Like, no, that sounds wrong even to me.
Yeah. Right. And I'm a killer. So.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
For hire. I'm a killer for hire. And even I draw the line somewhere, right? And the Cardinals and the Pope, they're like, well, it doesn't fucking matter to us. Good as place as any. But since joining the conspiracy, he had met with Lorenzo to assure him of his friendship.
Oh.
And had liked the guy. Lorenzo gave him a hug, brought him in, gave him a reach around, let him bang a couple of his broads. And he was like, oh, this Lorenzo guy, he's actually, when you get to know him, he's pretty fucking cool, man. Like, reciting poetry and shit. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in. So he was looking for a way out.
Oh,
that is when they found two priests to do the Montesecco part of the job to kill Lorenzo. Do you know much about the two priests?
I do not, except for that one was a citizen of Volterra that had been involved in that whole alum fiasco. He was still pissed for himself and his city. Hell, as far as we know, he probably lost people during the raging and raping and looting and murdering that was going on. So I think he's more than happy to be in on this and to go after trying to kill Lorenzo.
Yeah, his name was Antonio Maffei. The other guy was Stefano de Baglioni. He was the tutor to Jacopo de Pazzi's illegitimate daughter.
Oh.
But they were both priests. Now,
and killers.
You're a Catholic boy. Where do you find priests who are willing to commit murder in a church? Do you go to just like killerpriests.com? Put an ad up, wanted?
Yeah.
Two priests willing to kill someone in a church during high mass?
What you don't do, and this is from experience, is you don't go to are you willing to do it in a church.com, because that's a whole different type of subject. We're not talking about that. I think you just got to ask around. I think you just got to feel people out and see, you know, judge
the
their anger
out.
Level. Yeah. I don't know.
Listen, you just walk up to priest and go, listen, if I had a friend,
right,
who wanted to have someone killed,
right,
in a church, and he wanted a priest to do it, do you know anyone?
Do you have a price? I do. Give me a number.
By the way, I just bought killerpriests.com. I think that's it's probably going to come in handy.
It's going to be huge. Huge.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm also buying would you do it in a church.com. I'm getting that as well. Now, they also found a guy called Bernardo Bandini, also known as Baroncelli.
Right.
Some guy who had a gambling problem and owed money to the Pazzi bank. He was brought in to stab Giuliano with the assistance of Francesco De Bardi himself.
Oh, my God.
So they're ready. They're set. They got a place. They got a time. They got a location. They are going to...
They're ready to go.
Take them down.
This is serious shit. Yeah.
So the plan is that when the priest sounded the sanctuary bell... During the elevation of the host. Do you want to explain what that is to the non-Catholics in the audience, Ray?
I barely remember. Is that I don't remember what the bell is. Is that where you hold up the bread and you do some mumbo-jumbo prayer and you break it? It's the body of Christ. That's all I got.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
So the idea is when the priest raises up the bread, the host...
Right.
So-called because it houses Jesus' flesh.
Sure it does.
People look down, look to the ground. There'd be the sound of the bell.
Right.
And people look down in thoughtful contemplation. Best time to stab someone is when they're looking at the ground. And everyone else is looking at the ground, so they can't see who did it. Right?
Oh my
Clever.
God.
Yeah. Also, it's an unmistakable signal that they could all agree on, because they're going to try and separate these guys into it. Also, the plan is, as soon as the murders are committed, the Archbishop Salviati and Jacopo di Poggio Bracciolini,
mm-hmm.
son of Poggio Bracciolini, the friend of Cosimo.
Oh, shit.
Are going to storm the Palazzo della Signoria, kill the Gonfalonieri, seize the government, and take over the premises.
Damn.
I wonder what Poggio's son had against Larry. Maybe Larry wouldn't let him read any of his dad's books. Could be.
Yeah, you're not getting into my library. But they are going to cut off the head, mutilate the body, take over. All, hopefully, if everything goes well, simultaneously. Oh, that's a pretty good plan. That is a pretty good plan.
It's like Michael Corleone taking out the heads of the five families.
Exactly is what I was thinking. Just do it all.
About 11 o'clock on the Sunday morning, 26th of April, 1478, the young Raffaele Riario, the new cardinal, rode into Florence from Montughi.
Mm-hmm.
Got off his horse at the Medici Palace, was taken upstairs to the Medici apartments that had been set aside for him to use.
Right.
Where he changed into his cardinal's vestments. When he was ready, went downstairs again, where he was met by Lorenzo, who personally accompanied him to the cathedral.
Aww.
On their way, they were joined by the Archbishop Salviati, who said, "Oh, I can't enter the church because I've got to go and see my mother about a thing." And they were like, weird, but okay. So he left.
Right.
Lorenzo then took the cardinal up to the altar and left him there, and then walked back down where this is in the Duomo, right? To where a group of friends were standing, and he's like talking. There's no chairs. They're all just standing around talking.
Right.
Giuliano hadn't turned up, so Francesco de Pazzi and Baroncelli went to the Medici Palace to get him. And he was like, "Oh, listen, I'm not going to go because my leg's still troubling me and I can't see because I'm blind and blah, 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 blah." Right. And they're like, "Oh, you'll be fine. It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah.
Come on. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be great. It's going to be God. We got a big surprise."
Once in a lifetime.
He was like, "Oh, right then." So they basically carried him all the way to the Duomo. Francesco de Pazzi put his arm around him, but was really and said, "Oh, you're a bit of a fat fuck, aren't you?" squeezing him. What he was really doing is to make sure he had no armor under his shirt,
right? And he didn't,
and wasn't wearing a sword. So then they entered the cathedral. De Pazzi and Baroncelli moved Giuliani over to the northern side of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Lorenzo was on the other side of the church.
Ah.
So they've got them separated, right? Now, Lorenzo was with four friends. Poliziano, five friends. Poliziano, Strozzi, Rodolfi, Cavalcanti, and Francesco Nori, who was had been the manager of the Medici Bank in Lyon.
Ah, okay.
The two priests, the assassins, Maffei and Stefano, were standing immediately behind him.
Ah, gotcha.
The mass starts. At the sound of the bell, the priest at the front holds up the host. The priests behind Lorenzo pull daggers out of their robes and have a go at Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, Maffei put his hand on Lorenzo's shoulder to try and get more traction as he was going to stab him, right, to hold him still while he was going to stab him. Lorenzo felt the hand on his shoulder turned, and as he did, he felt the dagger pointed against his neck. When Maffei lunged forward, the tip of the dagger cut into Lorenzo's neck, but Lorenzo leapt away, tore off his cloak, wrapped it around his arm as a shield, drew his sword, and started swinging it at the priests.
Not his dick. Sword.
who backed away quickly. Then he jumped over the altar rail and made a run for the new sacristy, right, where he was locked in there and protected by one of the priests.
Yeah.
And his brother, yeah, Giuliano, right, wasn't so lucky.
Yeah, and at that same moment, I think, like you said, across from the church, across from his brother, Giuliano, Bernardo Bandini, who's with him, whips out his dagger, and he rams his dagger into Giuliano's head so hard, supposedly, that his skull split open and blood sprays out. Now, Francesco, who's also standing there, who very much hates the Medici, starts taking out his dagger, and he's jabbing it into Giuliano's body over and over again. And I don't know if it was adrenaline, excitement, hatred, or whatever, but he's stabbing. But because of the mess that happened because of what happened to the skull, blood is spurting out. It gets into his eyes, and in his stabbing, he ends up stabbing his own thigh. But whereas Lorenzo gets away, Giuliano pretty much dies instantly from the very first blow of a dagger driven all the way into his head. So at least one of the brothers, is now dead.
Giuliano was stabbed 19 times.
Damn.
He was 25 years old, and a few weeks later, his mistress, Fioretta Gorini, gave birth to his illegitimate son, Giulio de Giuliano de Medici, better known later on as Pope Clement the VII.
Good for him. I mean, relatively speaking, good for him.
Not many illegitimate sons go on to become popes.
Your father's brutally murdered.
Jeez. He's best known, by the way. I mentioned the other guy who commissioned Da Vinci. Pope Clement the VII, best known for personally approving in 1533 Copernicus's theory that the Earth revolved around the sun.
Nice. Good for him.
Yeah. Now, Giuliani's blood was pouring all over the floor. Baroncelli leapt over the dead body, ran for the sacristy, where he had seen Lorenzo was going, because this guy was committed.
Yes.
This is the guy that owed money to the Pazzi Bank, and I think they were like, it was a bit like Jack Ruby, man. They were like, listen, you got a job to do. If you want to get out of this alive yourself, you gotta get the job done. Yeah, not half a job, whole job. On the way, Francesco Nori, one of Lorenzo's friends, jumped in his way and was killed with a single blow from Baroncelli.
Right.
Lorenzo Cavalcanti, another one of Lorenzo's friends, tried to stop him. He got stabbed in the arm.
Yeah.
But before he could get Lorenzo, he had got through the bronze doors of the sacristy. They'd been locked, some of his friends, and he was safe. Lorenzo kept asking, Giuliano, is he safe? But no one would answer him.
Right.
His friend Ridolfi sucked the blood out of the wound in Lorenzo's neck.
Best friend ever in the world.
In case the dagger had been poisoned.
Yeah. I'm not sucking anything.
And his other friend,
right,
Sigismondo della Stufa, the guy who I mentioned earlier had written the letter about how sexy what was her name? Lucrezia Donati was.
Yeah.
He was in there as well. He climbed up a ladder to look down into the cathedral from where the choir normally sat in the choir's loft. People were shouting that the dome had fallen in. People were going crazy. Oh, that fucking Brunelleschi, we knew this thing. This
piece of shit.
There's blood everywhere. Yeah. Piece of shit, Brunelleschi. Renaissance, my fucking ass.
What was the style? What was the pattern of the bricks? Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah, the fishbone, herringbone.
Fuck the herringbone, yeah.
Herringbone.
Gravity won, you bitch.
That was bullshit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lorenzo's brother-in-law, Guglielmo de Pazzi, was loudly proclaiming, I didn't know anything. No one told me shit. Giuliano's body was still lying there. Raffaele Riario, the cardinal, was just standing there in shock. I don't know if he knew what was about to go down.
Right.
The two priests who had attacked Lorenzo, along with Giuliano's assassins, had all escaped.
Yeah.
And when the coast was clear, Lorenzo was bustled away by his friends to the Palazzo de' Medici. That is where we end that story for this week, Ray.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Coming up next time.
Payback, bitch.
I don't know. I don't think, I mean, I'm pretty sure Lorenzo is going to turn the other cheek and say, listen.
Look.
Misunderstanding. I understand. It's fine. I mean, I would have done the same.
Yeah.
If I was in your situation. What most people don't know about the Pazzi conspiracy, as this is referred to, is that this is where...
And that's when professional wrestling started.
I am fucking exhausted.
Because you're that good. Because you're that good.
People brag about it. Basically, and I'm sure a lot of listeners know this, so they can figure it out really quickly, but, you know, we're at each other's throats. I can't believe I'm saying this, but if you can move off my penis...